Today on Maine Calling, our CEO, Rick Schneider. It's a big day here at Maine Public. This morning, our president and CEO made a major announcement about the future of our Portland studios. Maine Public has purchased the former Portland Public Market building. Not only will Maine Public be able to broadcast from this location in the future, but also the space will become a place for community engagement. Think music performances, speakers, screenings, and partnerships with civic organizations. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, our president and CEO, Rick Schneider, joins us to share the plans for the building and for Maine Public overall. We'll learn about programming changes, upcoming projects, and he will take your questions about this, your public radio and television service. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn how you can get involved at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. By Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at WelchForbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Earlier today, Maine Public announced the purchase of the former Portland Public Market building as the future home of Maine Public's Portland operations. Joining me today to talk about this and answer your questions about our service is Maine Public's president and CEO, Rick Schneider. Rick has led Maine Public since 2021, and we are happy to have him back on the show. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Jennifer. Delighted to be here. Always happy to be talking about Maine Public, but especially nice to be on Maine Calling today.
Yeah, big day. And of course, we invite you to join the conversations. What questions do you have about Maine Public's programming or our plans for the future? What do you particularly enjoy or want to let us know? Send an email, talk@mainepublic.org, a brief email, please. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. So, Rick, again, great big news today. We're sitting at a small rented space off of Marginal Way, but someday soon we will be in a new building, which used to be the Portland Public Market. Tell us about this purchase.
Well, that's exactly right, Jennifer. I have been here for 3 years now. I just celebrated my third anniversary at the beginning of August, but the question of Maine Public developing a new facility in Portland goes back much farther than that. A decade or more, the board and the organization has been looking and trying to decide what to do about our Portland facilities. As you say, you and I right now are in our Marginal Way studios in Portland, but we're really in a conference room. We convert this conference room for studio purposes, and as your longtime listeners probably know, ever since the pandemic, you've been in a combination of a conference room with Maine Calling or sometimes out of your home, and it's really, we just don't have great facilities. No knock on the property, the building we're in, but it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't built as a broadcast studio. So we've been wanting to do something new. And for a while, we had plans to build a new facility from scratch, and we can get into that as well. But the exciting news of today is that we changed course to acquire an existing building, and a building that many people remember fondly, and that is 320 Cumberland, which is the former home of the former Portland Public Market. The advantages for us is that it is a relatively modern building, built in 96-97, and it has modern office space and room for us to build the kind of broadcast infrastructure we want to put into that. So there will be interior construction that we do, but it has modern office space and in many ways is ready to go. The things that we'll be building in this former home of the Portland Public Market will be a complex of radio studios to host both our Maine Public Radio, our news network, but also Maine Public Classical. And an exciting component of this will be what I refer to as community engagement space. It's long been the goal of the organization to have a place for community engagement, for panels, music performances, lectures, a place for the community to come together and celebrate arts and civic society. And this building is ideal for that.
What's so interesting to me, Rick, is that this building, I remember back in the 90s when the Lieber Foundation and Betty Noyce built it as the Portland Public Market, the idea was that it would be a public space. And we're kind of circling back now because for a lot of years it's been a private space, a company, with the very exception of the restaurant at the end. Yeah. It has not been open to the public, and now it will be again.
I hear that all the time. When I've told people about our plans for this, people's faces literally light up and say, oh, that's a wonderful idea. I loved that building. And many people have commented. Again, I've been in Maine for 3 years, so I never knew the old Portland Public Market. But people certainly remember it very fondly and tell me, you know, they used to love to go to lunch there. But most of all, they have not been in that building since it closed. So for the past, more than 10 years, it has been corporate office space, and there have been various corporate tenants in there. If you remember the old Portland Public Market, when it was the public market, it was a big cavernous space. And after it closed and became corporate office space, they installed a second floor, which is suspended. It is not attached to the external walls. But it is now a two-story structure essentially, but it gives us a lot of flexibility the way it was renovated inside. It gives us a lot of flexibility and, frankly, room to grow. But we're most excited about having new purpose-built studios for Maine Calling and the rest of our programming, and a space for community engagement.
What does this mean for the other Maine public offices? We have offices, as you well know, in sure. Lewiston and Bangor, and even a small office at the State House in Augusta.
Yeah, and the short answer is that things will stay status quo for the foreseeable future, I'd say. First of all, in Augusta, we do have a State House bureau where Steve and Kevin and where we do our reporting on the legislature in the State House. That is rented office space. That's our Augusta bureau. That will not change. A lot of people don't realize the importance of our Bangor facility, which is our broadcast distribution hub. So everything you hear over the air on Maine Calling, radio and television, comes out of Bangor. So as we sit here today in Portland, our voices are going by fiber up to Bangor and then being distributed throughout the state. That is our broadcast transmission hub in the Bangor facility, and that will not change. We will keep that. Lewiston, we own the facility in Lewiston that has been that dates back to the days when Maine Public merged between a university facility that was headquartered in Orono and Bangor and the old Channel 10 that was headquartered in Lewiston. So we still own that building. And what's important about that building right now is that it hosts our TV studio, our main TV studio. So when you see high school quiz show, the occasional debates. We did a debate in the last governor's race out of there. When you see something that is produced in a studio, it is typically done in our Lewiston studio. And again, that will not change, at least not for the foreseeable future. We have no plans to change that. I always emphasize that this new facility in Portland is about replacing the marginal way studios, which are small and cramped and obsolete. It's not about moving from Lewiston to Portland. It's about replacing the marginal way space.
What's the timetable?
So the timetable, it is modern office space, so that part is pretty much ready to go. We need to install the studios, and we're working on that right now, frankly. So the timetable, I think it is easy to imagine that it shouldn't take much more than a year and that we will be in that new facility before the end of 2025. I'm targeting the fall of 2025. We will have the opportunity to do a few things inside of that building before, including this fall. And I've even since we closed on August 1st, I've been in that building quite a bit, and you can work there now, but at some point we will need to close it to do the internal construction.
Mm. Rick, we just finished the Dirigo Pledge Drive on Maine Public, and thank you to everybody who called in or went online and donated. Will the money raised from the pledge drives help pay for this building?
So this is a very important point for everyone to remember and keep in mind. When in the nonprofit world, when you talk about a new facility, you're talking, frankly, about a capital campaign. And we have had a capital campaign specifically for the purpose of a new facility. And that has been in a quiet phase for quite some time, certainly for the 3 years that I've been here. And a lot of people are surprised when they learn the progress we've had in our capital campaign. So we've had a $31 million goal, and we had passed about $21, $22 million recently. And then we just have announced today that we have a $5 million commitment as a challenge gift to help us raise the remaining $5 million. I essentially said we have about $10 million to go. If this gift will do half of it, we'll go out and raise the other half. And that's where we are. So the answer to your question about a pledge drive is no. The support that you made last week during our pledge drive is all about programming. And I always want to stress that to people. Public radio, public television, public media exists because of the public supporting the programs that we offer. So when you contribute in a pledge drive, whether you're doing $10 a month for a $120 a year sustainer membership, or at any level that works for you, that is what makes the programs that you hear on Maine Public Radio possible. It helps us pay our NPR dues. It helps us pay our PBS programming fees. It helps our Maine Public journalists and the original programming we create about Maine. But it is not going to the building. The building, I should point out, we have purchased the building with the resources of the capital campaign so far. So we bought that building outright. We own it, and we own it free and clear, which is an important distinction. The closing phase of the capital campaign will be about helping us implement the vision, building the internal studios, getting events ready, supporting the operation of that building. The closing phase of the campaign will be about the future vision of the building. It will not be about buying the building because we have bought it with the resources that we've raised so far.
So raising the money for the public engagement space and the modern studios.
Moving forward. In round numbers, I talk about a $31 million capital campaign. Essentially, the net acquisition cost of the building to us was about $16 million, and we have a $15 million project budget target for the rest of the phase, the rest of the work that needs to be done. It's important to point out, too, that a lot of that money is about the broadcast equipment that's going to go into the studio complex of multiple studios and the community engagement space, which will be available for recording and broadcast. So that's where we are. We've bought the building. It's taken care of with the existing resources. Now we just need to finish the work and do the rest of the fundraising to implement the vision.
I want to circle back to something you said a minute ago because I think it's a really big deal. You said that there is a $5 million gift. That's a big gift. Is it the largest gift Maine Public has ever received?
I have been told, and it's my understanding, it is the single largest commitment, single largest gift that Maine Public has received. And we're very excited about that. And it is really meant as an incentive, as a challenge, as an inspiration for the closing phase of our campaign. It's a match. So when you make your pledge, and again, I do want to distinguish from programming, but if a philanthropist gives $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 to our capital campaign, all of that will total up to the $5 million that we need to raise to match this $5 million to close out the campaign.
You're feeling optimistic.
I'm feeling very optimistic. I think we've had so much support so far, but we've had so much goodwill about the notion of the former Portland Public Market being our facility. And on that note, I can talk about changing and how we arrived at this.
Sure.
So because some people may know that we acquired a project on Commercial Street with the intent to build new construction. And I may have talked about that in a previous Maine Calling or when I first arrived. Two things happened, that in the wake of the pandemic, the cost of new construction just escalated, and we were never able to make the project budget for a new tower. It was really going to be a five-story building on Commercial Street. We could never make the numbers work. The other thing that happened in the wake of the pandemic is that commercial real estate softened a bit and there became other opportunities. And again, when we bought the lot on Commercial Street, it was because there were so few options available. We had looked at a variety of buildings to acquire, and at the time, just nothing was fitting the bill. And it was really the combination of the availability of this building when we looked into it and it became available. It really suits our needs, and the cost of new construction on Commercial Street just wasn't making sense. So we decided to go to an existing building. I would say, too, that this is a building that Maine Public as an organization has been aware of for quite some time. You mentioned the Lieber Foundation. We have, Betty Noyce and her successors at the Lieber Foundation have all been Maine Public board members in the past. And there has been discussion in the past about would this be a good fit for Maine Public. And even before the pandemic, my predecessor, Mark, looked at this building as a possibility. And circumstances never lined up the way they have now. And in a way, it's the third time we've thought about this building, and I think the third time's the charm.
Third time's the charm. Rick, I wanted to ask you about a couple other things quickly before we go to a break. We are on Maine Calling right now, and Maine Calling is about to undergo a change. Our 11 o'clock slot is staying the same, but we'll be now rebroadcast at 8 p.m. instead of 7 p.m. Is there anything you want to say about that decision?
Well, just that I want people to realize that, and part of the reason for it really is because we do quite a bit of local and Maine-oriented production on Maine Public Radio, including this program, Maine Calling, and a 2 o'clock hour that's devoted to public affairs from all over, including a lot of Maine content. And because of that, Fresh Air does not air during the daytime hours on Maine Public, and we've had a lot of requests, could Fresh Air be at a little bit more accessible time? So we are trying this, moving Fresh Air from 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock. In many parts of the country, Fresh Air airs, earlier in the day. But that's why we've done that. It was really in response to people asking, could Fresh Air air a little bit earlier?
And I wanted to ask you, because the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which helps fund PBS and NPR and PBS stations and NPR stations, has been in the sights of some people who represent other states in Congress. And there's been a lot of discussion about funding for public broadcasting. I know you spend time in Washington. You've talked with our congressional delegation. Are you worried about the future of the funding that comes from Washington? I know it's a much smaller sliver than it used to be, but is that small sliver going to go away?
Well, the most important thing I would say about that is to be reassuring that Maine Public as an organization will be here. We will be here to serve you. And I am not existentially worried about the future of Maine Public, or for that matter, public broadcasting. We will be able to be here and survive. And it is in Maine, it is because we have so many loyal, generous donors who support and believe in our mission and support the programming. So the larger question of federal funding for public broadcasting, it's important for people to understand that public broadcasting is really one of the most successful public-private partnerships there are in this country. And to many people, they sometimes overestimate the role of federal funding in public broadcasting. It is about, I would say, 15% of the system nationwide. And depending where you live, a given station's budget can be higher or lower than that. So when you live in a big urban area, like I have worked in Washington, D.C. and in Miami, your share of your budget that comes from the federal government might be very small, 5 or 7%. If you live in a very rural area where you can't do a lot of private fundraising, places like Western Kansas, or I know of some of my colleagues at stations whose federal funding may be as much as 40 or 50% of their budget. For us in Maine, our CPB grant is just under 15%. So that is important, but it is not, I would say, existential. And people should understand that the reason there is even federal funding is to get It's about universal access, making sure that public media is available everywhere across the country. So it's still important to remember that this is free programming. It is not about advertising. It is not about subscriptions. It's really, sometimes I think of Pledge as pay-per-view on the honor system. You should do what you can, what you believe in the value of the program. You should do what you can to support it, but you don't have to. It is available free to everyone. And often we forget about how important that is to certain segments of society that really rely on our programming.
Sure. There are people in rural areas of the country who cannot get commercial stations over
That's
the
right.
air, who cannot afford cable, may not have access to cable, but they can get PBS and all four channels, including PBS Kids. And I think that's a really important part of CPB, right, to make sure that rural areas, the children, can have access to PBS Kids.
Yeah, that is certainly the history, and I think just as important today. And again, I do think that public media is often a kind of convenient punching bag, partly because of its history and partly because certain elements of media like to target it. But we have broad support on both sides of the aisle in Congress and from all walks of life, frankly. And I believe the public media will stay strong.
We're speaking with our president and CEO, Rick Schneider. If you have a question for him, our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. As always, you can post a comment on Facebook or Instagram or send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today, our guest is Maine Public President and CEO, Rick Schneider. We are discussing the just announced this morning for Maine Public's Portland operations to move into the former Portland Public Market building. And we are taking your comments and questions about Maine Public and the role it plays in your life. Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We'll start with a Facebook comment, Rick. Jen asks, I adore Friday night jazz on Maine Classical and would love it if there were more jazz music available. Could a Maine Public jazz station ever be possible?
Well, that's an interesting thought. I mean, certainly there is a devoted audience for the jazz programming on Friday night. I think the short answer is it's a little much to expect a third network or a third station devoted to jazz. And then it becomes in the broadcast business a little bit of a pie or a zero sum game that for all the jazz you add, are you taking away from classical? We do try and have an appropriate balance. Jennifer, as you know, in the history of Maine Public and the history of public radio, it used to be that public radio stations were sort of news during prime time, during morning drive and afternoon drive, all things considered in morning edition, and they played music much of the rest of the day. And then there came a time when public radio stations realized that there was more audience and interest and, frankly, money from supporters on the news side, and they let classical go and instead became all news and information. And Maine Public made that decision as well. But there are classical fans who are not happy about that, and we heard from them. And my predecessor did a great job in starting a separate classical radio network. So we are very fortunate in Maine to be operating two networks, a Maine Public Radio News Network, the news from NBR and BBC and our own Maine Public Journalism, and a separate network devoted to classical music. And that's where we have some jazz as well. But to have another outlet solely to jazz, I think, is a little too much at this point.
And to be fair to Jen, who wrote the email, wrote the message, I did truncate it, and she said she wants more jazz, but not at the expense of Maine Public Radio or Maine Public Classical. That's why she was asking for a whole new channel. She likes what she hears.
I do think just in terms of platforms for content, I do think of the new building that we're talking about, the new facility, as another way for us to share programming. And I have some hopes that in the new building, we'll be able to do musical performances, including jazz and other types of music that is not necessarily something you would hear on the radio, but it will offer a venue for that. In this building, in the old public Portland Public Market building, there is a corner with a fireplace. Many people remember that distinctive fireplace, which I believe will sort of be in the corner where our radio studio complexes are, And NPR does a thing called tiny desk concerts, as you know, and I've often sort of thought, you know, this is a nice fireplace with some room around it. Maybe we can have fireplace sessions and feature Maine musicians in that area. So that's an idea I'd like to develop.
Like that. We'll go to Frederick, who's calling from Bath. Hi, Frederick. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Jennifer and Rick. My heart just swells. Thinking about the legacy of Elizabeth Noyce, who, as you know, was the heart of Pine, the entire Pineland development took on her property. So kudos to us all for having this happen. But Rick, if I can bring up the future of legacy media and this year's election, okay?
Sure.
With the quality of journalism that I'm expecting to not having the former president's comments be taken as anything but his opinion. We went through a long period where people were questioning the appropriateness of President Biden to be running for this office. And I have not heard an appropriate and correlative amount of questioning of a man who's truly not fit.
Frederick, thank you for your question. And Rick, I think what Frederick's talking about is NPR national programming.
So the two things he mentioned that I do want to touch on. First, I appreciated your opening enthusiasm about the idea of being in the former Portland Public Market. And you mentioned Elizabeth Noyce. I have heard so many times as I've talked about this that, oh, Betty Noyce would have loved this idea. And she was on our board of trustees I understand had a strong history with Maine Public, and we appreciate that. But I do love it when people say, "Oh, Betty would have loved this." And in terms of your comments about the election and news coverage, you know, I hear you. I know that is a common that is something that many people think. I will continue to say that. At the NPR news coverage nationally. And by the way, we talk a lot here on Maine Public Radio about NPR news coverage, but on the television side as well, the PBS NewsHour, where I used to work, I still believe are very strongly trying to do the right thing and navigating the modern world of broadcast journalism in a particularly divisive election. They're doing it the way they are consciously think is the best way to do it, and I have faith in them. At the local level, of course, Maine Public Journalism as well. We take journalism very seriously here at Maine Public. It is core to our DNA as Maine Public and as an NPR and PBS station. I know it is a challenge, Frederick, and I hear you, but that's how we're doing it.
Frederick, thanks for calling in. I will move to Naples and Quinn. Hi, Quinn. Go ahead.
Hi there. I was just wondering if listeners can volunteer their time in any way in helping in restorations or something as simple as just bringing in equipment or desks or anything.
Well, that's a great question. Thank you. I think I will say in terms of the construction or getting the facility ready, volunteer help is not something that has come to my mind, and we can certainly think about that. One of the main ways that Maine Public uses volunteers, of course, is for our pledge drives. And by the way, as an aside, too, we have an instrument donation drive that recently, I believe, just ended or certainly been going strong, and people bring in musical instruments, and that's a great way for volunteers to help. But to have volunteers working in the building to get it ready, that is not something that's been on my radar at all, and we can think about that. I do think that once we're open, there's going to be there may well be volunteer opportunities. You think of docents and ushers at various facilities or kinds of venues. There may be more volunteer opportunities in a new building, but I haven't thought about it in terms of construction.
Quinn, thanks for your intriguing question. We will move to David calling from Portland. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the show. So my question regards the sponsorship of programs. I remember I've been listening since the 80s to Maine Public, and it used to be it just started announcing that so-and-so auto body shop was sponsoring a show or something very brief like that. And slowly it's crept into longer and longer kind of mini advertisements to the point where sometimes I turn off the radio until they're over. Is there any way these could be dialed back a little bit?
Well, there's a long history, and thank you for that question. And I have some personal, you know, long history with corporate support of broadcasting, including a time on the when I served on the PBS board, and I chaired a committee task force that was looking at what we called enhanced underwriting, or the whole question of commercial underwriting on public broadcasting stations. And what we have found over the years in terms of research is that people understand, viewers and listeners understand, that the corporate messages help to pay for the programming, and they're willing to have it around within reason. And what I'm hearing from you is that it's getting to the point where it's a little more than you'd like. One of the cardinal things on public media that is different from what we think of as traditional commercials on television is that we don't interrupt the programs. The corporate support messages on television are at the top and bottom of an hour before and after programs, and at radio they are at defined places in what we call the news wheel or particular places in the programming. Another thing about this is really inside baseball stuff, but the things you hear on public media are supposed to be announcements that define the funder, and you can use sort of their slogan or what they're in business about, but you can't do things like quality or price information. So the information that you hear in a public media corporate support message is very different from a commercial. Frankly, I know that sometimes we push the boundaries a little bit in terms of what's acceptable. One great thing about Maine Public as a state network is we are supported by so many businesses across Maine, from mom and pop, you know, from smaller businesses to some of the largest in Maine. But it is an uncluttered environment, very different from traditional commercial media. So what I'm hearing from you, and I'm sorry I missed the met, was that I don't know if
David?
That was Dave. Yeah. So Dave, I hear you that the corporate support messages are a little more than you'd like. Most people understand that it's part of the complicated business model that is public broadasting and a price they're willing to pay. But we'll keep it in mind.
And Rick, tell me if I'm wrong, but my understanding, there are all sorts of things that you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear somebody talking about a sale or the best price or what cars are on the lot or, as you said, claiming that they're better than another organization or something like that. A whole list of rules, right?
Yeah, there are FCC rules, Federal Communication Commission rules about it, and there are PBS and NPR guidelines about it. The easiest way to describe it is you can't have a call to action, and you can't have comparative and qualitative info. And at the national level, and again, I've been involved with programs like PBS NewsHour and Ken Burns and Skip Gates and what goes into those national announcements to fund them. Again, that's the potential for major pieces of funding for the program, and the funder, the business, wants as much of a commercial as they can get, but we are also constrained by rules and what our audience, you know, is not only but what the official rules are, but what's acceptable to our audience. I thought, Dave, you were going to go with the direction of the influence of corporate supporters, because I think a lot of people tend to criticize or think about that much more than is the case. And I can tell you, both at Maine Public at a local level and especially at the national level, the idea that someone is giving you funding and steers your editorial product or interferes with your editorial integrity, that just doesn't happen. And people imagine that a lot more than is actually the case.
David, thank you for your question. If you have a question, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or find us on Facebook or Instagram. We're speaking with our president and CEO, Rick Schneider. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, what is new at Maine Public? My guest is Rick Schneider, our president and CEO. He is talking about the announcement this morning that our Portland studios will be moving to the Portland Public Market, that building has been purchased by Maine Public. But we are also talking about programming and our signal and whatever you want to ask him. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or find us on social media. Rick, one thing we haven't talked about yet is the expansion of the service, the radio service, both classical and news. Where are we on that? Who's going to see a signal, new signal, when?
So this is the result of a rare opportunity that came up. In 2021, the FCC had a filing window for new non-commercial FM signals. And they had there were specific rules and engineering considerations about applying for those for a new station. And we submitted 8 applications for unserved areas, thinking that maybe we would get one or two. And we wound up getting 7, which we were very excited about. And that is construction permits for 7 FM signals. And the way a construction permit works is that you have 3 years to build it out from when they were awarded. So they were awarded in early 2022, and our deadline to get these stations on the air is early or spring of 2025. So of those 7 stations, we are filling in holes for Maine Public Radio, the news network, and those 3 stations will be in Bethel, Greenville, and Millinocket. So if you look at a map of our transmission service in sort of the interior, Bethel, the Moosehead Lake region, and Millinocket are unserved by Maine Public Radio's news network, and so that will help there. The classical network that we talked about earlier, when it was created and was sort of stations have been added piecemeal to it over the years, it's only 7 years old, it's been concentrated along the coast and to the south. And with these 4 new stations on the classical side, we'll be able to extend the network down east and into the county. So the 4 new classical stations will be, first of all, in Monson, so also the Moosehead Lake region. Both Greenville, Monson, those 2 stations will be added to cover the Moosehead Lake region, but also a station in Washington County. It's licensed to the town of Eastport, but it'll serve all of down east. And in the county, in Mars Hill and Fort Kent, areas up there. So the classical network will become much closer to statewide than it has been so far. Unfortunately, as with anything with over the air, you can always have a pocket where it's hard to get reception. But we are excited that these new stations are going to dramatically expand Maine Public's coverage on both radio networks.
And just to be clear, Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television can't just put a tower anywhere we want. We have to have this FCC approval.
Right. We can't just say, gee, this place needs a signal. Let's put up a tower. It's a complicated engineering question, frankly, or the biggest issue has to do with fitting everybody's frequency and without creating interference between different frequencies. So when we had this process to apply for new signals, it was a very complicated engineering and legal question as to where we could site. And frankly, one of the most, for example, one of the egregious or hardest problems I'm still trying to solve is that the Lewiston region doesn't have a good standard FM coverage for classical. The classical network, we don't have a good Lewiston-Auburn station. I would say that there's good HD coverage in Lewiston, and a lot of people don't realize this. If you have a relatively modern car, you very well probably have an HD radio, and that will get Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical much farther than this old standard signals. So that takes care of Lewiston somewhat, but I would still like to be able to get a more traditional station in the Lewiston area. And we're frankly, our chief technology officer, Jeff, and I look at that issue quite a bit.
We'll go to Jamie, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Jamie, go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Just a note about programming and maybe a quick mention to Elizabeth Noyes. But, you know, if it's coming out of Portland as a central place for programming, it just here's a Bangor guy living in Portland, okay? Mm-hmm. And I've lived here since the 80s, more or less, and seeing the place turned upside down, and upside down in a good way. You know, it's made it. Portland has made it. And so I just hope that there are points of light out there. Huston has a media school, yep. You know, and ongoing concerns at other schools in terms of places to, you know, look at content, but also news in a sense. And I, you know, Maine Public does a good job with that. And it just, if there's a clarion call here, it's just to keep, you know, Portland's great. Fine. I live here. I like Portland a lot. It's a big state geographically, you know that. And so that's the call out. So just back to Elizabeth Noyes. It's great. You know, the public market and everything that she did downtown, she really came in and helped dig Portland out of a hole, in the region. And so I just hope that, with that, that there are challenges for the state and they go, you know, across Route 2 up 95.
Sure. Jamie, I'm going to cut you off because we have so many questions coming in a short amount of time. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, well, Jamie, thank you for that. And yes, again, you know, we appreciate the references to Betty Noyes. And again, many people have said to me how she would love this idea. But I'm so glad you brought up the question of Portland in terms of our programming, because Maine Public is a state network. We are very proud of that. And we often think of ourselves as connecting across the state. It's important to understand and recognize that this new facility is about creating programming, giving our staff the room and the technology and the capacity to create programming for the entire state. This does not mean this is a focus on Portland programming. As a place to gather, it will, you know, will be easier to attend an event in Portland. There are also more people here. But this is about creating programming for the entire state, and we don't lose sight of that at Maine Public at all. We serve the entire state.
And I will add that myself and the producers of Maine Calling are very, very, very focused on creating programs that are of a statewide interest.
I've always loved, and Jennifer, you know this, when I was being approached about coming here, I listened to a lot of Maine Calling and the This Day in Maine podcast in advance, and it always struck me on Maine Calling that you have experts, panelists, and listeners from across the state calling in, and it's always so good to hear the different communities that people are calling from.
An email here from Jeff. Can the station allow electronic payments for one-time gifts similar to those received as evergreen donations? I hesitate to mail checks nowadays.
Well, I, as do I. Thank you for that question. And absolutely, you are, of course, so much of our membership has become what we call sustainers, where people give an ongoing monthly amount and do that through electronic, through their checking account, or through credit card. But yes, it is also possible to do it on a one-time basis, I believe, through the website. But if it's not obvious to you, and I'm not looking at the donation page at the moment either, as there's certainly a number you can call or an email you can send us, and we can help you with that. But absolutely, we welcome. You know, I always talk about electronic transactions are convenient for the donor, but it's also so helpful for the station, and it saves on credit card fees too. So
all
thank
right.
you for that.
We're going to go back to the phones now. We'll go to AMK calling from Scarborough. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm curious about the move about parking. Where will employees and then volunteers who come and do the pledge drives and stuff park if you're right downtown Portland?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for that. And frankly, one of the things that was attractive about this property compared to what we were looking at earlier is this building does have an existing parking solution. And longtime fans of the Portland Public Market may remember that there is a parking garage next door, and there is a skywalk from the building to the garage. People often ask me, are you buying the garage too? And we are not, but people remember that the garage was built by the Lieber Foundation as well. But we will have leased parking in the parking garage available for our employees and easy accessibility for visitors and for people attending. I would say, my experience in Portland since coming here 3 years ago, and just in general, there's a combination of street parking and garage parking, and it's really a matter of how patient you are and how much you're willing to pay. But we will have parking as a solution available at this facility.
AMK, thanks for your question. We will go to Kitsy calling from Portland. Hi, Kitsy, go ahead.
Hi, I have 3 points. First of all, I got a leak early on from one of the staff members at Maine Public about the commercial street. And I thought, oh, God, don't do that. Not with what's happening with the ocean. It would soon be underground. So I'm so thrilled that it's the public market. I also want just to remind people, I'm in my 86th year, and I'm leaving a fifth of my estate, however much it is, to Maine Public.
Oh, thank you.
So just reminding people to do that. And I also want to say that without Maine Public, radio in the daytime and TV at night, it is my ongoing source of lifelong learning. I learn so much, and often I will make a beeline to a local independent bookstore because I've heard some author interviewed, but whatever, it's just wonderful for those, and I'm off the internet completely. So Maine Public has just filled an incredible gap of my infinite curiosity. Thank you so much.
Kitsy, thank you so much for your call, and you'll be happy to know we have authors on Maine calling tomorrow. So tune in for that, Rick.
Well, Kitsy, that is the kind, that's the kind of call, of course, it does my heart good, and we hear that so often of the importance of public radio and public television, Maine Public in people's lives. And thank you for the plug for estate gifts. We talk so much about people calling in during a pledge drive to support our programming, but we do have a robust planned giving program here at Maine Public where people leave us estates or share their estate or think of ways, non-traditional ways, to help support the programming here. And we're always delighted to talk with folks about that. But Kitsy, thank you. That does my heart good.
Thank you, Kitsy. Here's a more critical email. This is from Kim. She writes, why did you purchase a building in a very expensive location in Portland rather than look for something outside the city at a more affordable cost so that the money can go to programming? The Portland public market would be better served to be converted into affordable housing. So why downtown Portland?
Well, the question of the best use of it in affordable housing, of course, that's anybody's opinion, and different people have, you could say, what a building outside as well would do that. It is a valid question as to why should we be downtown as opposed to cheaper real estate, in the suburbs or in an office park or outside of downtown. And that is, frankly, a philosophical question that this organization has confronted during the entire time it searched for a property. And the reason we bought that lot on Commercial Street where we originally intended to build was to have a very high visibility, prestigious location in frankly, the tourist or most visible part of Portland. And when we changed paths, when we decided to look at alternatives, our board and our organization still wanted a high visibility place in the heart of town, frankly, so that to engage people at events. And I believe this is a nice compromise. It is not the waterfront high tourist location of Commercial Street, but it is a highly visible location next to the Portland Public Library, down the street from the Portland Museum of Art, and Maine College of Art and Design is nearby, Cross Arena. It's kind of an arts district, a central part of Portland, which is not the Commercial Street area, and we're very excited about being there. So philosophically, It's a good question, and we have just always decided that we wanted to be in the heart of Portland.
And I think a lot of people will be able to walk to some of these events we're planning.
Not only walking, yes, it is a walkable part of downtown, just off Monument Square, of course, but it's also, there's a metro bus stop right outside, including the connection to Brunswick. I'm blanking on the name of the bus connection. Metro bus goes directly from downtown Portland to Brunswick, and that stops right outside of this facility. So there are public transit options. It's a walkable part, but yes, it is not in suburban or office park space. It is in the heart of Portland.
Metro Breeze.
That's right. I was going to say Breeze, but I didn't want to misspeak. Thank you.
Well, I want to say, Rick, that we have several emails we were not able to get to during this hour, and what I'll do is make sure that whoever here at Maine Public is most prepared to answer that will get those emails. So if you send an email and you didn't get your question answered, know that we will not be ignoring them. And Rick Schneider, thank you for being on the show again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. And again, the great callers, great questions today. And I always appreciate the chance to talk about it. But it is important to remember Maine Public exists because of the people we heard calling in today, the people who are listening, the people who call our pledge drives, and really the citizens of Maine. So thank you for your support. You're what keeps Maine Public strong.
Today's sound engineer was Sandra Harris. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. And a reminder that beginning today, evening rebroadcast of Maine Calling moves to 8 p.m. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.